Now, this Upanishad and the Vedic and Upanishad thought is quite different from all these answers. Now, all these three answers are given to save God from the trouble, in the sense that God is not responsible for all this that is happening. In all the three theories, you find, in the one theory you find that God is not responsible because He is after all good and is fighting with the evil. How can you blame God? He is very good and He is not responsible for the evil. In the second theory you find that God does not exist at all, so God is not to be blamed at all, so He is out of the picture. In the third one you find that when you realize God, you find that you were never having any trouble at all. So He never created any trouble at all. There was no problem at all. But you will find that all the three answers seem to be unsatisfactory. I mean, when you really face a question, you do feel that you don't find satisfaction in any one of these three answers. You find that there is an escape from a problem and nobody is facing the problem truly, and everybody is trying to protect God, as it were God needed protection. If God really was responsible for all this, we human beings are trying to save God from all the trouble, saying that He could not be the author of all this trouble. And to save Him from that responsibility, these answers are being given. But the Upanishadic and Vedic thought puts all the problem and blame on God. If at all you can say blame on God, it is true. The Vedic thought and the Upanishadic thought says that God is responsible for everything that is happening in the world. So don't take out God from this scene and face the problem squarely. The difficulty is that by making God responsible for evil, does it follow that God Himself is evil? Who permits evil, who allows this evil in the world, it would seem on the first sight that naturally, if He is permitting evil, there must be evil in Him. Otherwise, how could this come out? That is why the Vedic teaching is very intricate and very complex. On the one hand, it does not shirk at all from the responsibility. Take for example the Bhagavad Gita, which is Vedic teaching actually. It is directly a translation of the Veda Upanishad and the entire trend of the Vedic thought. Now, if you read 11th chapter of the Gita, where there is the Vishwarupa Darshan, where the entire scene is presented to Arjuna, where the whole world is seen to be a manifestation of God. All is God. There is nothing but God. The entire time movement is God. Kalosmi, I am the time, says Sri Krishna Himself. And in one of the aspects of this Vishwarupa Darshan, the divine is seen to be dreadful. He is Rudra. And Arjuna sees that this whole battle is being fought in God Himself, not outside God, in God Himself. It is not as if God is fighting a battle of evil outside Himself. That was the first answer. It's not that. The battle is fought in God Himself. And Gita is not at all afraid to face this question. Very boldly says that this battle is being fought in me. Not only that, but I have already killed the Dhritarashtrians. Te hataha. All of them have been killed already. So, he is a destroyer also. And it is on the basis of this vast vision that Arjuna is made to be convinced that he should also fight in this battle, which he thought at the first sight it was evil. Arjuna's main question when he said, I will not fight, was that this battle is evil, ghoram karma. This is a terrible action in which you are niyojyas imam. You are throwing me into this ghora karma. And he felt it was a sin. But it was as a result of this vast vision that Arjuna afterwards was convinced that he had to be participant in this very action. So this now brings us into a kind of a focus. So let us begin with the steps that we had already taken in our last meeting. As I told you last time, this question that you raised is so important and so intricate that it requires a very full development of all the ideas involved, so that step by step, if we trace out the whole thing, then we can really disentangle the problem. In the history of Indian thought, the wisdom of the Veda, of the Upanishad and the Gita was gradually lost. And that is why in the intermediate period of Indian thought, various kinds of ideas have been developed which are even now ruling upon us. Even the law of karma, for example, is expounded in the intermediate period, is quite a wrong law which has been propounded before us. There is a wrong view of God, wrong view of creation, wrong view of man, wrong view of law of karma, wrong view of bondage, wrong view of liberation. Because of all these wrong views put together, we find that we are not able to resolve the problem. So we have now to trace the whole thing in such a way that the right view of God, right view of creation, of man is bondage and liberation, all these are brought out very clearly.